Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Between two rivers, that is Mesopotamia, sometimes called the Fertile Crescent. We're traveling back in time, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, thanks to Mudi al-Rashid, the author of a new book, Ancient Mesopotamia and the Birth of History. You bet. Tigris and Euphrates Rivers. We've known them in war cultures, but this is the beginning of language as we understand it, written language, also kingship, also school days, the same, and we will come to that. Mudi, congratulations, and this is wonderful. You teach at Oxford College. I envy your students because they are taking the same time trip we're about to routinely with you. We go to a princess, Enigeldi Nana. The princess is in the city of Ur. Her father is a king, and he burdens her and blesses her by making her the priestess of the moon god. So she inherits, if I follow correctly your reporting, an enormous task, the farms, the people, the wherewithal, the fertility of the land. Plus, she's an interlocutor to the moon god. And she left behind a chamber, or a series of chambers. And in that chamber were artifacts from the civilization she lives in. But they were not all her time period. Some were 1,000 years before or more. Who is she? What do we need to know about her before we explore the mystery of her chambers? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, too. Thank you for having me, and thank you for starting with Enigeldi Nana. She is at the center, really, in a way, of the new book. She is, as you said, the daughter of the last independent Babylonian king, King Nabonidus. After him come the Persians, and he appointed her as the high priestess to the moon god, who is called Sin in the Akkadian language, which was the language in use by the Babylonians, like Enigeldi Nana, but also called Nana in Sumerian, which is the ancient language of the region kept alive by scribes and scholars, sort of how Latin was kept alive for a very long time and still is in many ways in certain restricted contexts. And Enigeldi Nana, when she inherited this role, her father made sure that she had somewhere to live in Ur, a city on which would have been on the banks of the Euphrates thousands of years ago. And in the remains of her palace, excavators discovered a room that they really thought they wouldn't find very much in. It just kind of looked like a mass of rubble. But they were very careful to say that the floor was intact. And the reason for that is really that the reason for making sure that that was known was because, as you said, a series of artifacts were discovered in that room atop that floor from much, much earlier eras. A mace head, so part of a weapon that was so old they couldn't actually date it in the end. A description of a brick that came from 1500 years before Enigeldi Nana even lived, and several other artifacts that were just didn't really make sense to find them in that room. And then they found something that really unlocked the mystery of that collection, which was a cylindrical clay object covered in cuneiform writing, which was the writing system in use for thousands of years in the region. It was a writing in clay, so it was impressed with reed onto clay, which was sort of the paper, the main medium for the writing system, which is why so much of it has survived. And on this object was another object was described as being there for display. And that object was a brick, which was never found. But it was described in such detail that we may as well have found it because we know exactly what was said on it and what it looked like and how it was discovered and where. So really, excavators decided this must be some sort of collection of antiquities or even a museum. And that drum-shaped or cylindrical clay object was the earliest known museum label. So there are lots of ways to interpret it, but that is, I would say, one of the most evocative, that really gives us a window onto how much history mattered to the people of this region, who kept their dead languages alive, who wrote about their ancient kings, and who made sure they could connect themselves with earlier eras to lend themselves legitimacy because of how important the long history was to them, as it in so many ways is to us as well.
So her father is king, and mm-hmm. he puts her in charge not only of land and mm-hmm. fertility, but also of memory. It's striking mm-hmm. to me because I can remember being taught that it was modern man who invented history mm-hmm. and moved it away from God's intervening. And you give me to understand that at least one king, and perhaps the tradition, venerated our ancestors who came before us on the basis of artifacts. Is that something that was well established until they found the princess's chamber?
Yes, it was. In fact, Nabonidus is very well known for his almost obsession with archaeology. He and his dynasty, the Neo-Babylonian dynasty, which is sort of 600s and 500s BCE, they sort of pop up out of nowhere in the dust of the fall of the preceding empire, the Assyrian Empire, which at the time was the largest empire the world had ever known. So they had to have come up with a sort of creation story. And they did that by connecting themselves with much earlier kings, including kings who came, you know, almost 2,000 years, who ruled almost 2,000 years before them. So they were all sort of aware, and they had all these artifacts of this very, very ancient history. And it was important to them to create that that link to an earlier dynasty to lend their own selves legitimacy. And Nabonidus more than anyone else, because he doesn't come from any sort of royal genealogy or anything like that. He sort of takes over the throne after a period of a sort of messy period between the other kings who came before him. And he also brings an end to the dynasty. So it was quite an established practice of these kings and kings who came before them as well.
I want to interpret for modern times because of the way we deal with leaders now. He was seeking legitimacy, or he was endorsing his legitimacy. Is that it? Could the artifacts have been giving him that power?
Possibly. They may have also just been sort of as part of his overarching strategy of legitimacy, which involved a lot of excavating of older temples and then rebuilding them as they looked in ancient times. And in the course of these sort of building works, they would just find lots of old things. And his own accounts of these building works describe having found an inscription of an ancient king, and he might name the king, or even an inscription of an ancient high priestess, because the role that Enigaldi Nana took on is a very, very old role. It's a very old position that originates in the third millennium BCE. So she's in a long line of priestesses. And Nabonidus describes having found an inscription of one such priestess called Enanadu, who lived around 1800 BCE. And so I think it's really all part of this sort of the practicality of rebuilding these old buildings to as symbols of his connection to the past, but also having kept them. Maybe there was some power to them in that sense and kept them together. But there are a lot of questions around it as well, which I tackle in my book, because I think there are other ways to approach it that don't necessarily detract from the importance of that history, that in a way the sort of doesn't matter what the answer is, but because the fact that the objects are there is by itself so interesting.
This is the city of Ur, and it's in the first millennium BCE, mm-hmm. meaning that the Greeks and the Romans are in this period too. However, we're going back in time when we mm-hmm. come back, because the very bricks that are the walls of Ur tell a story. The book mm-hmm. is Between Two Rivers, Ancient Mesopotamia and the Birth of History. Moody El-Rashid is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.